This is Fam Electric Ghost, and we're live on the air with Manny Baines, award-winning film director. And I wanted to welcome you to the Fam Electric Ghost podcast. How are you doing today? And you're an author, too.
Award-winning author.
And again, welcome. And you're a founder of the Rising Movie Experience, right?
Yes, sir. The Rising Star Movie Experience. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm eager to be here, and I'm eager to share some amazing things with your audience.
That's awesome. So one of the first things we always ask people who are on our show is what motivates you and why do you do what you do?
Oh, that's a great question. What motivates me? I mean, I'm always looking to become a better version of myself. I mean, if that makes sense, I'm just looking to always get to that next level, you know? And what motivates me is that, you know, one day we're going to die. So how do you want to live your life while you're here? You know, I always look at, man, I'm going to be 80 years old and not be able to walk one day. So I want to be able to live and squeeze as much juice out of this thing as we call life as much as possible. So that's what motivates me. You know, to do what I do.
And how did you get into film? Was that something that you were interested in as a child? You liked certain film directors and you wanted to emulate like maybe your favorite directors or films that you saw, and maybe you felt like you had a vision for that?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. To be honest, none of that. Sorry, what's your name again? I'm so sorry. Can you please remind me?
Oh, you can call me Phantom. I mean, my name is Keith, but I go by Phantom because that's my stage name.
Phantom. All right. So Phantom, you know what? It's amazing where life takes you. Because if you had told me like 5 years ago, Manny, you'd be an award-winning film director and doing movies, I would have said you're crazy. Well, I always had, a thing for like being an actor and being in front of the camera. And so... you know, I always had that desire to kind of be on, you know, screen, film, TV and all that stuff. And after I got heavily involved in my own personal growth and got on that path of finally actually taking the action to do that, because, you know, life and society and family will tell you, you can't do it. You know, go get your education, go get your degree that route. But once I started to kind of get into my own personal growth, I said, okay, let's do it. Why not? You know, at 26, I said, let's just go do acting. So I started to do that. But then I also surrounded myself with a lot of entrepreneurs, became an author myself. And this is my new book, Attract Money Faster. I was around all these authors. And from another book I wrote called Switch, we said, okay, well, this is cool. How else can we be different, right? Because my whole thing is, how do you be different in life, right? Dr. Zhu said, why fit in when we're born to stand out? And so I said, why don't we make it into a documentary? So we go, okay. We made it into a documentary film. It's called Break Free. Check it out on YouTube, just Break Free documentary. And it was cool. I said, all right, I want to do this for other people so they can get their message and their brand out to the world. And that's when the Rising Star Movie Experience was born, to be able to brand entrepreneurs through the power of film and use it to be able to create social change on a global scale. And from there, I've never looked back. I've done 3 films right now. I'm working on my 4th, and I'll be doing another one next year. So it's just amazing how I guess you fall into it. And yeah, I mean, because I'm an actor and I got front of the screen experience, it also helps me behind the camera as well. So that's kind of how the journey started there, Phantom.
That's interesting. When I've talked to, you know, actors that have gotten into film, they tend to say that it's kind of like that two-way street. That a lot of times if you're in front of the camera, that you have a vision for how you think the director should be doing it. Because like you're in front of it, and then you start saying, well, I would have made these choices with this particular scene, and then, you know, that's not your choice because that's not you. And then you want to take control. It's kind of like any artist that has a vision for their work, they want to be involved in a lot of aspects of it if they know what they want. Some people don't know what they want. They get to a point in life, they want to be kind of directed by other people. But if you've gotten into the director role, then you have a vision for what you're trying to do and what you're trying to say. And you want to have some level of control over how that story gets told, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, you gotta have a vision for your life. But yeah, I think being able to, you know, have, because, you know, directors aren't actors, writers aren't actors. But it's funny when writers write scripts, you know, they're not actors. So when an actor picks it up, they see something totally different to what the writer has maybe wrote. And so it's our job to bring their script to life. So sometimes they may not even know what they want until, you know, an actor shows it to them. So it's just interesting to get that dynamic
Kind of, it's a two-way street. Like if you have the script writer and you get somebody like an Al Pacino or De Niro and they read what that script writer wrote and then they actually perform it. And like, it can surprise the guy who wrote it. Cause they're like, I didn't see it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
The actor does see it that way.
Because we're using different skill sets. They're just writing it, but the actor's using their full imagination, understanding every single scenario, viewpoint, and they're really expanding on the knowledge in the tech. So yeah, they can see things differently than the writer for sure.
Yeah, and you were a finalist for your Fear album. It was Fear, and it was like .f.e.a.r. In the Cannes Continental Film Festival in 2023. So maybe you can kind of talk about that experience and how that like maybe invigorated you to continue to do what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that was really blessed. You know, I just, when I started the Rising Star Movie Experience, I was putting out films and I was speaking on a stage and just presenting what I wanted to do with this. I wanted to make films that create social change on a global scale and they impact lives, right? And do films that, you know, the mainstream doesn't really talk about, that are kind of borderline risque topics. And then, you know, I got approached by this lady to do an autobiographic documentary of her life story. Her name's Annie, and she goes through the trials and tribulations of her life, coming to a new country, facing cultural barriers, getting into, you know, a bad marriage and things like that, and how she overcame that. And it was just amazing. She just said, I want to tell my story. You know, something about her, I just said, okay, let's do this, you know? And then, you know, the budget was really small, to be honest with you. We only had three actors in it. But I guess if you have a story, it's the way that you tell the story. We were able to bring out the emotion in her. And you know, kudos to her, too, for having the courage to be able to share her story. That's why we call the film Fear, Face Everything and Rise. And for her to be vulnerable on camera and as a director for to get that out of her, it took definitely some work and some skill set. But, you know, I guess it's a story that resonated with a lot of women in the world. And it's won over 33 awards from film festivals all over the world. And the semifinalist at the finalist at Cannes was our latest one. So I'm just it's just phantom. It's just amazing when you have a positive message and you want to bring it out to the world. What happens, you know?
Well, it's like the law of attraction. You know, I'm a big believer. So a lot of people feel like, oh, I talked to a lot of artists and I can't actually, you know, move my work until I get it to the gallery, or I got to have a $7,000 guitar. I got to have a Steinway. A lot of times it's the passion of what you're doing and it doesn't have to actually cost a lot. There's a lot of pieces of art that didn't actually cost a lot of money. Man, it took a lot of time. It took a lot of heart, took a lot of passion.
And that's it.
But it doesn't always have to be the big money, special effects, and the big names to actually say something that can actually draw people in. Like if you draw people in, like a person, an author that has those details, that pulls you in and then keeps you, so you read the whole book.
Exactly.
Like you watch the whole movie because you got drawn in, you know.
Is to be able to bring out the emotion for sure. And I'm a big believer in the law of attraction as well. And that's kind of what this new book is, 8 Secrets to Manifest More Money into Your Life. That's why I did it. I'm a huge believer of it. But yeah, I think that if you tell us, it's the way that you can bring out the emotion, right? We're emotional beings. If you're able to bring out the emotion in people, you know, you're going to be able to get, you know, their attention and them interested in what you're doing for sure.
And it's so hard for people because I think everybody has a tendency to be a little half fearful of the reaction to your authentic self, right? So a lot of times we put on masks, we kind of bury the truth, we bury what happened to us because we're scared of what people will think of us, the shame and the guilt. And so I think a lot of times the artists that really capture our attention or capture the world, the ones who can get past that and actually put that kind of heartfelt pain into the work.
Yeah.
And then the people pick up on it. Yeah. And that's not everybody, and the reason why is like, there's not always a lot of, you know, people in that category because it's hard to do. It's hard to actually, you know, because you want to fit in. So you want to go along to get along.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's easier to go along to get along than to actually tell your story.
Yeah. It's easy to just follow the masses. Even now, nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm still trying to do my best every day and get better. Cause I guess it's so easy to get sucked in to what everybody else is doing. Why? Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's necessarily the best thing. You got to look at the masses right now. Look at you know, people, when you go to work, you see them driving, you see them eating at the same restaurants, drinking at the same coffee places. You got to ask, are those the people that have the results that I want? And if yes, keep doing it. Yeah, but most of the time it's not, right? You're not. So we need to consciously say, okay, who's the group that I want to emulate? Who's getting the results that I want? And do what they do. Chances are they'll be doing a few things different, you know? And
that's well, you kind of got to break out of the mold. Like a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of cookie cutter, and industrialization and modernization kind of brought us these assembly line structures. Like even the corporate office is not that different than Henry Ford's assembly line. It's kind of built like our structures in our corporate worlds are built like assembly lines. And then we get people who say they want creative people, but they want you in the cube for 8-12 hours. Yeah. How are you, you know, no creative person I have ever met is in the cube for 8 or 12 hours. That's not how their minds work. That's not how their creativity works. So I don't know how you think that's going to give you your next big idea coming out of that.
Yeah. And even if you're in a cubicle, man, it's okay, right? But there's times before work, there's times after work to just, you know, 1 hour a day spending time on how you can improve your life or what things you can do differently. You'll be amazed at what you come up with, right? But I think it's so easy to just be not mediocre, because I don't want to put people down, but it's easy to just go along and just, you know, go along with the crowd, go to work, come home, pay your bills, eat, go to bed, and do the same thing. It's, and not everybody's different. I don't know. Maybe some people don't have to.
Well, I think it's like a passion thing. I mean, you could have that 9 to 5, and I have a day job. I'm a software designer.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
But my passion, you know, I'm in my room. I'm with all my synthesizers, and I'm with my podcast equipment, all my stuff. So I take the, as soon as I'm done doing my day job, I'm right into my art. Exactly. I'm right into doing podcasts. I'm right onto my synthesizer writing. And I think it's like if you have that, you got to have some kind of passion thing you want to get into.
There's got to be something that fires you up, Phantom. Exactly. And I got to give a shout out to you. You're doing some amazing things with your podcast. Your setup's amazing. You can feel, you can sense the passion in what you're doing. So that's amazing. I congratulate you. But every single person, there's something that you're passionate about. I mean, I think every person has it, to be honest. Whether it's, I don't know, it could be fixing cars. It could be, work. Everybody has something, and just follow them.
There's always, you know, even you could be like into fishing and the golf, or, you know, it could be some physical activity that you're outside of work. You're into that ice fishing. I mean, living in New Hampshire, people are into ice fishing, snowshoeing. It's like getting into nature. You know, there's the idea nature was the cathedral. I always feel like if I walk in the pines, because I'm in New Hampshire, we got these big pines, that's restorative. And I think a lot of creative people, like what I find is, like, you can get rid of the noise and find a way to get rid of the noise. And then I'm a big believer in the muse. And so I believe if you get the noise of the world from your cell phone and your all your devices and your wearables, and you get rid of that, and you kind of let the world talk to you, like you walk in the woods, walk, you know, by a river or a beach, or, you know,
or meditation.
It will just happen, you know, if you let it.
Meditation too is a big tool for that. We got to go within, and that passion and that desire, it's just our soul. Like, our spirit is for more expansion and fuller expression. We're ever trying to just unfold and express. That's all it is, Phantom. You're doing this because you want to express who you are. You have a gift to the world. You want to help people, whatever is inside of you. It's just trying to express ourselves. So the more that we get ourselves involved in self-expression, the more your life improves. But I tell you what, the more the world is going to improve, and the more that you'll be rewarded because you had the courage to express, just express yourself and create. That's all. We were created, right? I'm not getting religious, but we were created by somebody, God, whoever it is. And since they created us, our job is to create. So just go out there and create anything, and your life will be better.
Yeah. I think a lot of times we have social media, we have influencers, and we have these kind of fads, and people want to kind of follow the fad. And this question is like, a lot of times your story, your own story, is more relevant than the fad, right? Like, because everybody can go and do the cat video with the same 30-second music clip and get 1 million views. That doesn't mean that that's relevant, right? To, like, if you actually say something and you put it out as a personal story, that's really a vulnerability you had. And if you could get a whole following, because you had the courage to tell something about something that happened to you, like a failure, but then you found a way, the lesson learned from that failure, rather than throwing the cat video with the same song that everybody else used to get a million views, right? Which one has more of an impact?
For sure. I guess if you look at anybody, like all the leaders, I don't know, who are out there, right? They've had the courage to share something personal about themselves, and they're speaking up, and they're just speaking their truth. Like you said, the authentic self. So the more that you can do that, the more that, you know, you'll be surprised how many people resonate with what you're saying. They're feeling the same things as you, but you had the courage to maybe just say it. So get out there and just do it, you know, do whatever works for you.
And your process, like if people go to your website there, like in this Talendy that set up something with you, is that how you, like if somebody is ready to click on that, like where are the people that click on that? Where are they? Like when you talk to them, where are those people at? Are they directly, they want to do a film, or they're thinking about some idea? What's the type of person that would click on that?
I get a lot of requests to be like here and there to do a film. You know, my thing is right now, obviously now I'm an award-winning director, like my credibility is on the line. So it's got to be something memorable. It's got to be something powerful. Like you said, if someone wants to do a movie on their cats, I'm probably not going to do it, because what's the value? What's the value to themselves and what's the value to the world? So right now what I'm doing is I flipped the script. I'm actually creating my own, like where I handpick certain people to come together to do a film. And so my next film, what I'm doing is, before I would just do like one person, they would come in, whatever, we do it on them. But now I'm handpicking people from certain industries, and we're going to get a group of people to co-create change on a global scale. So my latest film is around health and wellness, because I wanted to do something. What's the next big topic? I did finances. I did women's empowerment. So I say, okay, COVID happened, let's do health. So I'm getting practitioners from all over the world, from Canada, US, and Europe, all speaking on how people can heal themselves through natural and holistic methods. I'm going to put it into a high quality cinematic documentary film and just bring it to the world to co-create change on a global scale. So that's my next big project. So I'm actually handpicking people to come and do a film with me.
Oh, so you had this idea and then you used like certain ways to find the people like that you put that out there, but how do you weed through the people that might come to you without getting like inundated with a lot of stuff that's not really what you're looking for? Do you have a path for that?
Some criteria, you know, credibility, experience, can they speak good? What are they doing right now? Do they have a practice? Are they just starting? To be honest with you, it doesn't even matter, like if they're just starting or whatever. I got to see the fire in them. I think when you jump on a call with someone, you can just know right away this person's passionate. They're doing
okay. Something. You kind of pick up on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just pick up everything's energy, right? So of course they have to be a little bit like of practicing and kind of have their own thing going a bit. But yeah, if they're passionate and they want to do it, that's the main thing. I don't really care.
It's the kind of vibe. Like if you're in a musician and you're trying to get people to be in your band, like you feel that vibe. Like you're going to pick the drummer, you're going to pick the bass player. It's got to be like, you guys got to work together, right? We all got to work together. We got to feel that this guy's vital. This guy's going to make it. This is going to be the guy that's like Ringo
or John Bonham.
This guy's going to do it.
Does everyone have the same passion? That's the main thing. Does everybody have the same passion to help change the world, to make, you know, better change, right? So those things, right? It's not just, oh, somebody wanting the clout, right?
Yeah. You got to figure, like, are you going to be happy to work with the person because they're making you think? Like, they say something that triggers, this guy said something really interesting to me. I've never really heard it said that way. It triggers this thought. It's like, I think this would be super interesting to dive into this. Is that the kind of thing that happens? Like you get triggered by like certain phrases and things that they say and how they say it.
Yeah. Speaking for sure. It's just, I just pick up on their energy and their passion. Like you said, you know, you're just like, wow, this person is so dedicated to helping people, and they're so knowledgeable as well. That's another thing. If they're very knowledgeable on their subject,
fact check it. Yeah, you got the right information. Yeah, that's always interesting, like people's process, because like you said, you hadn't been, you know, thinking about being a film director from as like a kid. Like this is something you found later, right? It's not something you were thinking about when you were like 8 years old or 10 years old, right?
Not at all. But I got a great team behind me, and I just feel like it's a great medium to be able to do some good in the world and be able to impact lives. So I think it's a great medium. You can do a lot with film. You can impact a lot of lives, and you know, the masses are more likely to watch film than read books, unfortunately. For those out there, read, because it's good for you, but you know, you're more likely to get more views with a video, for sure.
Yeah, video. I mean, that's why we video podcast. And because the video, I mean, the podcast forum, I started back in 2016, and it was audio only. And now it's, you know, changed to video. But, you know, if you think about it, I only have four of my platforms are video. Like 11 of them are still audio. So audio still in the podcast world has a lot of impact. There's still a lot of people that just listen to the audio because they're commuting or they're on a plane or whatever. And they can and do that. So do you do, it's all video, or do you have audio versions of what you do?
It's hard to do. I haven't come up with audio movies yet, but yeah, everything's visual for sure. Yeah, visual.
You haven't gotten to the kind of audio book type of presentation.
Yeah, it's more visual, because I think video is the future, you know, that's it. And it's not even just video is the future, you know, what, anybody can get on a camera and, you know, do a Facebook Live and say, hi, I am a lawyer. But, you know, with this scrolling world we live in, how much attention do you have to get somebody, right? 3 to 3 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a captivating video, people are just going to scroll to the next. So right now, Phantom is more vital than ever to grab people's attention. And you can do that through a highly captivating, emotionally conveying video, right? One, and even a promo video. We do promo videos as well. I created an amazing promo video for I have a coaching program called Master Universe. And if you watch this video, Phantom, this is the future of what promo video should be. It's so visual. I've got props coming in. I got planets flying around. It's really, really cool. But that's the future, right? How do you get more creative in grabbing the audience's attention so they listen to your message? Because otherwise, you're going to just be like everybody else. Like, you know, you have a podcast, right? How many other people have podcasts? Every, you know, lots of people. So what are you going to do to kind of stand out and be different, right? That's it.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of times with the video, there's so many techniques now. And I guess the question, when you first got into film directing, how much of, like, in terms of editing and filters and effects and style, in terms of, like, every director has a style and have a certain type of style for the type of work they're doing, the camera angles, different types of, you know, tools. So, like, in terms of, like, what you know you want, did you have to kind of ramp up with the lingo for the lighting and the cameras and the editing to kind of be able to describe what you wanted, or you got a team that was able to kind of bring you up to speed?
I had to do some myself, but I'm blessed now that I have an amazing team that can do, you know, pretty much a lot of what I want. Some of my vision is kind of out there, but yeah, I have an amazing team. Editing is a tedious process, so I like to try and delegate that as much as possible. But yeah, I got an amazing team. And they are, like, I think the best. I'm so blessed to have them. You know, they work with me to be able to give me what I need, you know, which is great.
That's awesome. But yes, just, I guess in terms of, I've talked to some other film directors and they had to kind of learn, like, lighting techniques and camera techniques to be able to tell camera people, like, what kind of shot. Did you have to kind of learn all that?
Yeah. So being an actor, I got some of that experience, that front of the camera, like, as well. So I had that in my arsenal. Of course, yeah, I had to take basic lighting courses and things like that, and a lot of simple camera stuff. But the thing is, you know, that, like, just from modeling, you can do, like, modeling other people's documentaries and see what they do also helps as well. So if you have a model, at least when you're starting out, right, because you're new, to have a model of, okay, like, I've seen this film, this is similar to how I have it. But now, you know, watching the documentary films and seeing what people are doing, they're almost breaking all the rules. Like, I even saw one film where, you know, people were having their heads cut off like this in the interviews. And it's like, but it worked. And then some person, as they're interviewing them, they would be like zooming in and zooming out, like weird stuff. I'm like, this is, I've never seen it, but they make it work. So it's amazing, the, you know, the creativity.
We're kind of in the Wild West, because it, you know, one thing about, like, the modern world is the gatekeepers for, like, musicians and filmmakers and actors you know, it's not necessarily that you have to have some big production studio to approve it. So you're able to do, you know, things. And I remember, you know, when you think about like Orson Welles and Citizen Kane, and they asked him a lot about like, how did he get those camera angles and those shots? And he basically said, well, I didn't know that you couldn't do that. There's a famous interview where he's asked about like his directing brilliance. And so I don't know if it's brilliance or just, I just didn't know what you couldn't do. So I said, well, if I can point the camera like that, why not? If I can have this scene look like this, why not? And so I think when you have less gatekeepers, you allow somebody to come in, they're able to do things that like, hey, I feel that this moment requires this shot, or this moment requires this type of lighting. And maybe that's not standard, but I think it will work because that's what I feel.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes people out of the industry to come in because they're seeing it from a different lens to kind of, you know, bring different things, different innovation, because otherwise people will just do things that they've always done, for sure. Absolutely.
So do you have other like film directors come to you and want to talk to you about like what you're doing, and then you kind of help them, or you've ever consulted with other people, or you're totally focused on your own work?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple people and I've just helped them out of the goodness of my heart, but really I'm focused on my thing right now, to be honest with you, Phantom, just focusing on my films, my world, my next project, to be honest with you. But, you know, happy to help people if people reach out to me. I'm happy to share, you know, whatever knowledge I can with them, you know, right now, because I just, that's what I do. Any advice I can give to help somebody improve their life, I'm all game for.
So one thing I was wondering, like lessons learned as a film director, what are the top three lessons learned that you have experienced in the films that you created recently? Are there three big lessons that you would be willing to convey to other directors?
Yeah, obviously there's one around ownership and licensing. Like, honestly, you got to get that stuff up front and clear, because, you know, that becomes messy when it comes to like, who owns the film? What rights are we giving to people? So that's one, establish that up front. Two is timelines. Stuff in film always like gets delayed, so you always have to plan a little bit ahead. And I didn't realize that, because when we had an anticipated release date and it went like 4 months after, people were wondering like, well, you know, you said this and now it's this. So I always know to give like a longer time frame, because stuff
buffer.
Yeah, because as much as you want things to get done fast, it just film, you know, things get delayed. And then the last one is to just believe in yourself and just trust your gut, you know, trust your gut, because most of the time your gut is right. So just follow your gut and your intuition. It knows best.
So in terms of like, do you do a lot of, I guess, storyboarding? Because there's a lot of directors that will storyboard out exactly what they're going to do. Are you more kind of in the flow state, or do you have a like a storyboarded vision of what you want to do?
You know what, now we do a bit more storyboarding, but at the start it was freestyle, man, and go with the flow. And I still think that's a lot of what I actually do, just because that's just my approach, man. I have a certain vision, and then I kind of put it together as I go. I know it's kind of unorthodox to most film directors, and there is a little bit of planning up front of, you know, who we're interviewing, what our story is. But part of what I want to capture when I do my films is that realness and rawness. Like in films, the two other actors who we did, one of them was actually my dad. We didn't tell them they were being filmed for a documentary. We just said they were being interviewed, and we just, because I wanted to capture that raw, real emotion.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so that's kind of what we did. And for this one, you know, I had to coach a lot of people, because you know, they're experts. They're not actors, so. You know, they're experts in their field, but it's amazing when somebody just has a camera in front of their face, how we just like freeze.
Yeah, it frees up. Like, how do you get them to be more like a conversation, like a podcast? Like when I do my podcast versus like, there's a type of podcast where you can do a pre-recorded kind of edited podcast, and people know it's going to be edited. So they'll want to stop and start and stop and start. Yeah. And I've been more about, like you said, the flow state. I do live because I like the flow state, because I'm a jazz type of musician. So when I do my music, I like to do improvisational point in time, flow state, this kind of like in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I can sit down and write the bars out like a storyboard or something. But a lot of times what I found is the stuff I wrote ahead of time doesn't sound as good as the stuff I just happened to just happen. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go with my gut.
So I like to do that approach. Obviously, my team sometimes isn't like that because, you know, some left brain people that want to know, but
yeah,
somehow it works out. And as long as I keep my vision, yeah, it works out.
You get the guy who wants to, what's the next chord? What's the next note? You know, what's the next scene? It's like, well, I don't know. It's going to be what it is.
Yeah. Life is about rolling with the punches. Sometimes you got to roll with it, right? You don't know what's going to happen. But yeah. Yeah, so we do a bit of planning, but I do like to do a lot of freestyle and raw stuff. Absolutely.
So another thing I like to ask people just to get kind of like you're a little deeper is what are three things about you that you don't think the audience would realize that you know, would be fine. They find interesting. They wouldn't really think that it's readily apparent that these things, three things about you are true.
Okay. Three things. that's a cool question. I like that. So three things that they may not know about me. Well, let me see. Well, I have a Guinness Book of World Records. Like, that's maybe something they don't know about me. I started taking boxing classes 3 months ago for Thrit Fitness. What else don't you know about me? I was in the show, featured in the show Suits in one of the episodes. Oh. Something you don't know about me. Wow. And I like to take bubble baths. I don't know.
That's interesting. Well, it just kind of, you know, we just like to liven it up a bit. It just seems it's important that you found like your niche, like you found, and a lot of times people don't really know, you know, where that's going to happen. It sounds like you kind of free, you know, flow state got into where you are. And now you're kind of in that kind of sweet spot, but it's, you know, sometimes life isn't fully planned out. And so maybe that's like a lesson learned too. That's like, if you follow what makes you happy or makes you feel like you're vital, like they're telling your story, then you'll kind of know you're in the right place.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, Phantom. Even if you don't know where you're at right now, follow your heart, like you said, but if what you do, and this is actually the main point, if what you do has a positive impact on people's lives, then it's going to be good for you, right? It doesn't matter what you're doing. I don't know. There's a thousand different industries, whatever you want to do. But if what you do has a positive effect on people's lives, you will be rewarded, and it's a good avenue to take. Just like you're doing the podcast, right?
Yeah. So, I think the main, you know, thing I learned is like when you talk to people, it's like a master class with what they're telling you, because everybody is an individual, everybody's unique. So when you get to interview somebody and they're an expert in their area, if you think about it, I've actually, you know, interviewed like this episode is what, 1,066. Wow. So over 1,066 people. You think about it, almost 1,000 hours of talking to people, you know, and I think the oral tradition of you're learning is we learn a lot when we talk to another human being. So to me, like that value alone, besides all the things that I get from this, has like, you know, helped my life, but then also helps my audience because they get to hear your story. And then that resonates through like the law of attraction that suddenly that triggers somebody saying, well, maybe I should do that.
Exactly.
Maybe I should think that way. You know, that's how you pay it forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you pay it forward because you put it out.
Yes, somebody's known. You had the courage to do the podcast and reach out to people and reach out to me. And then I'm sharing my message. And somebody on who's listening to this will get inspired thought, inspired action to do something. And then they're going to help somebody else. And then that person's going to help somebody else. And that is how, like you said, we pay it forward. And we slowly start to create change and make the world a slightly better place.
Yeah, you create like, you know, we create like a group of like-minded individuals that believe in positivity, like they believe in creating things, not like just taking things down, not being a hater, but to say, why not try to build something, you know, to create something, which I have always, Yeah. That's you can put down somebody who created something, but are you doing anything?
And if it, exactly. And people who put people down, you know what it is? They're just envious. And you can be envious in two ways, Phantom. You can see somebody and say, oh, wow, they're crushing it. How can I get to their level? I got to step up my game. But it's easier for someone to say, oh, look at them. And they don't want to do anything with their lives. And it's easier to tear someone down. You can either go positive or negative. It's so easy to go negative, man. Everybody's negative. Look at the results they're getting. Make a conscious decision to go the other way. You know, it may take some discipline at first. Your mind may have been programmed to go negative, but just slowly, like, condition yourself and you'll see an amazing change in the next, you know, three to four months, even 1 month if you stick on this path. So remember, if you want results like the masses, keep doing what the masses are doing. If you don't, just stop doing what the masses are doing. I'm telling you, your life will get much better.
Yeah, it's harder to, you know, speak your mind because there will be a response.
Oh,
and a lot of times it's not going to be what you want to hear, but it doesn't mean that you stop. Right? I think that's the hard thing because a lot of people, as soon as they get the response.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not perfect. People who are watching, I'm with Phantom. I'm in this podcast environment. He's got good energy. I'm talking my game, but to be honest, I still have that part of me. Otherwise I would go on Instagram every single day and talk my message every single day. There is that little voice, right? And it's if you think about it, it's pointless. It's we care about what other people are going to say, right? We're, like you said, we're worried about that response because we're going to get good response, but not all the time. We may get those haters. But if you think about it, why are we living our lives based on what another person thinks who we don't even know, who we don't even care about? It's so stupid when you analyze it. So if you really look at it, you'll change. Yeah.
It's a big thing. And like a lot of my heroes, you know, that I really was into, you know, growing up as a musician, like Bob Dylan is real famous in 66. Mm. He went electric and he'd been doing all this folk music. Mm. And then he showed up and he went electric when he had been like a folky, like an Arlo Guthrie or Woody Guthrie. And he suddenly went in front of this crowd and the first half of the show, he was folk. Second half, he comes out with an electric band and they started yelling Judas and started screaming. I got it on tape. And what was really cool for me, what I like what Dylan did, was that he actually, somebody said he was a Judas for playing the electric music. And then he said, I don't believe you. And it's on tape. Wow. And he kept on playing the new music. And the public, the crowd did not like it. But the critics actually said this stuff was like brilliant. So he had an immediate reaction on stage where people hated what he was doing. And he kept on doing it because he started getting these people who are saying that this is really kind of ahead of its time. And then by the 1970s, that same type of music he played in 66 was getting stadiums full of people to watch him play it like that. Yeah. So sometimes you're ahead of the curve with what you do.
Yeah. Look at any great person, right? Any hero, you can name any of them, Martin Luther King, whoever it is. You know, when they speak something, right, they were ridiculed for being different. They were just speaking their truth. And, you know, that's it. So sometimes people may want to put you down. But as long as you feel it in right in your heart, then that's all that matters. And eventually people will, you know, you will win people over, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I think that we've had a good discussion. And it's always great to talk to folks on the podcast. Again, if people click on your link, what happens if they click on the calendar? Is that how you actually are still using that?
Yeah. So there's a link I can share with you if people are interested in, you know.
Oh, yeah, a different one. I can put up another one.
Yeah, yeah. It's I can send it to you. It's youaretherisingstar.com. If people have an idea, they want to make a movie or something, you know, they can jump on a call with me. And we can chat, you know, about.
Yeah, if you put that through the private chat, I can actually put it up now.
Yeah,
if you use the private chat, I can put it up now.
You are the rising star. So, yeah, I mean, I love to hear people's stories. And if somebody has something, you know, I feel like most people have a story in them. But if you have a story that you want to share with the world and, you know, you think it's something that a lot of people are going to benefit from, you know, let's have a chat. And I'd love to do a movie on you. I mean, imagine if you had your own movie where you're sharing your story to the world and millions of people are hearing your message. What would that do for your life? What would that do for your life? Cool. legacy, all that stuff. So, yeah.
So we're going to put that up. I'm setting it up right now. Okay, yeah. So that's youarerisingstar.com. So if you click on that, then what you just said, you'll be able to connect with you right there. So again, that's fully clickable, so you don't have to try to remember that. When we publish on all the podcast platforms, even the YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook that we're on right now, that will be fully clickable once we're off the air. So thank you again for being on the show. I think it's really cool that you were able to, you know, live your dream out and continue to do it with your filmmaking, and then pay it forward by trying to like help, you know, folks globally. They have on a global scale social change. That's like, you know, core.
Yeah, we got to think big. We got to think big. Got to think big. Aim for the stars, and leave, you know, you'll land on the moon. I think you got to think bigger than yourself. I feel like it's easy to live for myself, and I do live for selfish desires some days, but we were created for more than just ourselves. And once you realize that you were created for a purpose, and you were created to, you know, when you were created, you have a built-in gift, something that you do better than anybody else. And it's that gift that you have to open and share with the world. I mean, that's why you were created, to make an impact in this world. So once you find out what that is, open your gift and share it to the world. That's when you'll finally start to see your life improve, and great things will happen, for sure.
I want to thank you again for being a guest on the Family Like a Ghost podcast. And we will be on all the major platforms later tomorrow. We will be, we're on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch right now. And that will be immediately active right after the show. But thank you.
Thank you, Phantom. I love the work you're doing. Pleasure. It's been an honor and privilege to be on your show. I thank you so much. And I wish you all the success in your endeavors.